Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Jim. Also from the bottom of Bruce Laird's heart. And speaking of Bruce, otherwise known as Ken Laird from WEEI in Boston, he's on the Hall and Capitis fan hotline. Bruce, that must have meant a lot to you to hear Jim Colony fate you like that.
My God, love to hear Jim Colony again. My man, Jim. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Everybody is wondering what's going on with the Patriots. It seems obvious on one front, but people are suspecting that Belichick is behind all of this. Six guys, is that the number, have opted out? What's happening there?
Six guys. First of all, if the Bills don't win the division now, I mean, just disband the franchise. If your Bills don't take advantage this year. But it's bizarre. On one front, like you can, as you say, you can explain it away. There are all the common thread between most of these players that opted out, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, their right tackle, Marcus Cannon. They're all older guys who have won. They have some money in the bank. They have, in two of those cases, young children. Cannon is a cancer survivor, so he's got a serious medical issue. They all have, like, elderly parents they spend time around. So the virus, like, there's an obvious virus excuse, but when there are six in one day, then you start to think, wait a minute, if Brady were here, would this have happened? Do they all hate Belichick? Is it part of the no fun factor? And then, you know, then you get the wild conspiracy theories like you referenced that Belichick just signed Cam Newton to distract from Spygate 2, and he's intending to tank the whole time. This is all part of his master plan. So I'd like to believe that. I don't really buy that. I think this blindsided him a bit that, you know, several of these veterans decided to opt out yesterday.
Well, you ask a lot of questions there with a lot of possibilities. What do you think it is?
I think there's a little bit of truth to, well, first of all, there's an obvious medical out that they can hide behind. I think for these guys who have been in the grinder with Belichick for 10 years, they are a little fat and happy. They don't have a ton, you know, motivating them to come back. I think part of Brady not being here, they have to look at it and realize we're a better team with Brady. With Newton, it's interesting, but we're probably not a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So you factor a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, you know, Belichick is not fun. I mean, that's pretty obvious. There have been several players who have left here, Brady included, who have hinted enough over the years that, you know, the guy is, you know, it's just you do things his way, and it's rough. There's a reason he succeeds, but there's a reason there are some guys that just don't work out here. So I think there's several reasons, and that's definitely a factor in the whole thing.
Ken Laird on the Hall and Capitis fan hotline. So in the NFL, do these guys get a year of service credited their way? In other words, another year if the idea is to get out of New England eventually, another year closer to that?
Right. I mean, as I understand it, now they get a stipend, which is borrowed from next year's money, right? If you have a medical excuse, it's $350,000. In the case of the other guys who have, like, young kids, Hightower, he gets $150,000. And the contract tolls a year, but I think it'll pick back up. It tolls for the medical stuff, but maybe you don't know more than I do. I think Hightower would still be under contract for his last season next year when he comes back. I'm a little confused on that myself. And we have, I guess, they haven't finalized the details, actually, so we still have a week more of guys opting out in the league to find out more. But that's a big thing. I mean, yeah, if Hightower wants more money, as a lot of these players do, can they use this to manipulate the contract part of it and get a new deal when next year comes around?
What's the mood of the fan base up there? Is there still a Brady hangover? Was there some excitement when they signed Cam Newton? Has this tempered that excitement? What are the fans thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Newton, everybody forgot about Brady, it felt like, after Newton signed. I think it was like Brady who. People were buying in big time, but this is a stunner now. They've lost now their whole linebacking core from last year, their top three rush guys. Chase Winovich, the Pittsburgh kid, is like he's going to be top of the depth chart in year number two as far as their linebackers go. So they have a good secondary, but Newton's coming in without preseason games to play. They have a second-year quarterback behind him. It is looking murky now.
So how is Belichick's mind working now, do you think? Do you think he's thinking we can get the quarterback of the future? Because I've also read reports that they love Jarrett Stidham. They had a funny way of showing it. What's happening, do you think, in Belichick's mind right now, especially in regard to his quarterback situation for the future?
Yeah, I think my belief was he believed they could contend with Newton. Now, let's see how Newton looks in, I guess, the first couple weeks, but I don't think people say Belichick would never tank and he would never overtly do so, but he's always about what's best for the franchise, right? And if the long-term best for the franchise is we're not going to win this year and he finds it out in a couple, in games one and two, then go the Colts Curtis Painter route, like put the worst guy in, put Brian Hoyer in, whatever, Stidham if he's not ready, and draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or one of these top quarterbacks the year after that. He still wants to catch Shula in the all-time wins thing. In 05, he basically lost the game deliberately at the end of the year to avoid playing the Steelers in the wild card. I don't know if you guys remember that year. They played the Jaguars. They won. So he's not above strategically losing. I don't think you would overtly see it, but I got to believe if things go bad early in the year that they may go that route.
Well, you brought up something interesting, though, about he wants to catch Shula. I mean, I just don't see him tanking if that's true, right?
Well, but it would be a one-year step back for future success, right? If he still thinks he can coach for another 6-7 years in the league, you got to get the quarterback, right? I mean, look at Pittsburgh after Bradshaw left. Noel couldn't win without the quarterback. Maybe Belichick realizes that. He doesn't show it. He seems like a guy who is, believes he can win without Brady, but he's been around the league a long time. He's seen a lot of good coaches unable to win without a quality QB.
Ken Laird from WEEI in Boston. I want to get to hockey in a minute because a lot of people looking at the Bruins like a future opponent for the Penguins and maybe as the favorite in the East. But first, Joe Kelly. This guy went nuts last night. Dodgers pitcher started going after Astros' heads. He's making faces and mouthing things on the mound. He went completely nuts. Now, he wasn't even on the Dodgers when they lost to the Astros in the World Series, but he was on the Red Sox there when they lost. What's up with this guy?
Yeah, he's a bit of a wacko. Do you remember him with the Cardinals? He was pretty, he seemed like buttoned up then, and then he came here to Boston and they won a World Series with him. He was a huge part of their 2018 World Series win. But right, they were here. They beat the Astros 1 year to get there. But this is not beyond him. He's definitely, he throws obviously hard, near 100 miles an hour, and he's done some crazy things before. But I don't know how you guys feel about it. A fastball at some guy's head like that is totally out of line, unacceptable. I mean, he could have taken Bregman out. I mean, for a long time, that's very dangerous. But he is definitely fancies himself like the bad boy image, and I could see he gets to L.A. He's had a bit of a rocky first year there, wants to impress the fans and his teammates, and they get a 5-2 lead, and he's the guy that the muscles up and says, I'm going to do it.
What Joe mentioned the Bruins. I mean, a lot of people think the layoff really is going to hurt them more than any other team. They can end up going from the first seed to the fourth seed, depending on how these playoff games go. How are people in Boston looking at them?
I think they've got the best chance of all the four teams up here now to win a title. I mean, I guess you're right. Everything is just who can predict what this tournament will look like, and they were the number one seed, but they did allow some of their older guys to rest up somewhat. Their biggest concern is David Pastrnak, who's, the 48-goal guy this year, had a breakout season. He's put on a little weight, and he was not exactly tight to quarantine, so he didn't practice with them much. And that's the whole thing for them. Their top line got shut down in the Cup Final by the St. Louis Blues last year, and Pastrnak's the right wing on that line. So they need them going. I mean, if he can't score and that line doesn't go, they will get bounced early. But I think Bergeron and Chara getting rested is pretty good for them. And their goalies, they'll probably use more of a rotation, which Tuukka Rask was really good last year, but they have a good backup in Yaro Halak. So they've got as good a chance as anybody. And, they were a 100-point team for a reason. They're pretty talented.
We'll leave you with this, Ken. This is something I haven't been able to comprehend. Of course, I can't comprehend a lot of things. How is the seeding going to work in this little round-robin tournament? What are the factors that go into it with these four top seeds?
Well, as I understand it, the standings now are gone, right? So you play three games, and they just use your, you know, your point total out of that pool. So if the Bruins go, obviously, 3-0, they would be the number one seed and play the lowest remaining. So, again, that's a little murky to me. But, you know, Pittsburgh's locked in, right, as the four.
Pittsburgh's five.
Right. Yeah. So if the Bruins would skunk it and go 0-3, they would drop to the four seed and just play Pittsburgh, which would be interesting given the history of these teams. The Bruins have typically played the Penguins tough, but I don't think Boston wants to see Crosby and Malkin in round one either.
I honestly believe that that's the Penguin round robin right there, and that it gives teams something to legitimately play for, is to avoid the Penguins coming out of that round. Why would you want your first series to be against a Penguins team that just tuned up for three or four games against the Canadiens? That round is all about avoiding the Penguins. Do you agree?
I would think so, but then again, Tampa lost to the 8 seed last year in Columbus, and who knows? I mean, the Cup Finals are just totally random, and this is even random on top of that. But, yeah, yes, on paper I would say you're right, that they're the most dangerous team and they want to avoid. I also don't think, no matter how these round-robin games go, they can't match the intensity of a five-game playoff series. So the Penguins, would, if they win that round, would come out, you know, playing more meaningful games. I really don't think the Bruins care all that much about where they finish 1-4. So advantage Pittsburgh there too.
Thank you, Ken, for your time. Appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, boys. My best to the Colonel.
I'll pass that along. Ken Laird, WEEI in Boston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.